Ephesians 4, 1 to 13. Unity and maturity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascends on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and became mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Thank you, Jessica. We are continuing in our series on the Holy Spirit, and today one more on the gifts of the Spirit that the Spirit gives to us as a church. And this morning we want to especially welcome one of our ministry staff who is going to preach about these ministry gifts of support and service, Christy Dodd. Why don't you come forward, Christy, and let's pray for you now. All right, let's offer our prayers. Almighty God, thank you so much for the goodness of your word. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit that you lavishly give to your church. And we thank you for the gift of Christy, and we pray that you would bless her and anoint her, Father, as she brings your word this morning. We pray that you would equip her for every good purpose that you have in mind for us as a church. Give us, God, receptive hearts as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jessica. I need to plug in my computer, everybody. It's very high tech. Good morning, church. Good to see everybody, and all the best to everybody camping right now. Thanks for your prayers, Phil. I'm going to pray as well. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let the words that are spoken be honoring to you and bring you glory today. As Phil said, open our hearts to you and speak truth to each of our hearts and fill us up with your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. So, imagine that you're walking into a theater and there's going to be tons of amazing decorations that have been planned. There's going to be great costumes. People have put a lot of time and work into this. There's going to be actors and actresses there that you've seen before, and you're so excited to see them again. Everything's set. The music starts, you're sitting in your comfortable seat, and you can hear the actors start to talk to one another and start to act, because you can hear commotion, but you can't see a thing. The lights aren't on. Nobody turned on the lights. Well, we'll come back to that. We've been given a gift, a spiritual gifts test in the e-news, and I don't know how many of us have done it, but it's a great spiritual gifts test. And as we know, we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This morning, we're going to talk about the service and support gifts of the Holy Spirit. So those are up there. Those are the service and support gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are the gifts of a servant's heart. Now, can you imagine if somebody with the gift of helps, somebody who's amongst our group comes and they turn on the lights? Wouldn't that be amazing? Then we would see when we could take in the presentation and the fullness of how it's meant to be. And so let us as a church turn on the light of the Holy Spirit in our church. We have it on, but let's keep asking God to shine the light of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and use the spiritual gifts to bring glory to God and help him to shine in this world. Each of these gifts that are up here today, I'm going to touch on, and I'm also going to talk about the purpose of each of these gifts. I'm going to start with the gift of helps. The spiritual gifts of helps is found where? 1 Corinthians 12:28. And in the Greek, it is translated antilemphesis. All right? So it says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracle, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. So there is a Holy Spirit gift of helps. It's a Holy Spirit endowed gift. And these people, who are these people with the gift of helps? They might be somebody who turns on the lights, or who aids assistance, or who renders help. They might be somebody who you think, oh, they're good at lending a hand and helping behind the scenes. What might they do? Well, perhaps they're going to help an elderly widow, you know, take care of her garden or mow her lawn, or some single mom or dad help them with their groceries as they try to wrangle their kids. There's somebody who likes to have the servant heart of the gift of helps. And the thing is that this gift is important. Unfortunately, it's sometimes seen as not such an important gift, but the gift of helps is just as important as all the other gifts. Let me give you an example. Let's say, for example, Patty. You know Patty, our youth director. Some of you, probably most of us know her. And if you don't, she's our youth director. Well, let's say she wants to set up a meeting for the youth leaders. She's probably going to pray with it, come up with a plan for the meeting. But when the church is busier, she's going to go to one of our staff people, and she's going to say, hey, I'd like to have a meeting with my youth leaders. Can I book a room? Because sometimes during the year, there's lots of rooms used here, and you need to book a room. And that person will say, absolutely. She has this big schedule, and she'll say, sure, I can book you in. What room would you like? The youth room? Oh, no, that's not. Oh, yeah, we can have the Clarkson room. The youth room's full, for example. And then this person will say, I'll make sure to have the AC on and the HVAC, whatever the HVAC is, and the heat. And then she'll say, well, do you have somebody to set up tables and chairs? And who's going to open the doors? And who's going to close the doors? And do you need somebody to help you with coffee? So this person is acting as in the gift of helps and service. She's helping equip, and she's helping work with a team as Patty. It is a very important gift, and it's often overlooked. But this gift is essential to keep things running. And by the way, that staff has more gifts than just the gift of helps, but that is one of her gifts. So we've now talked about the gift of helps. There are other gifts that were mentioned previously, and we're going to talk about an author named John Thompson. So he talks about these supportive service gifts in his book. And what does he call them? He calls them love gifts. So he calls them love gifts. So what are the love gifts? The love gifts are helps, administration, mercy, and giving. So we've talked about helps. Now, let's look at the rest. Bear with me. This is going to be like, okay, we're going to go over each one, okay? So let's hang on here. All right, 1 Corinthians 12:28. This gift is administration. So the gift of administration, somebody with this gift tends to organize, direct, implement plans, to lead others, and they often help people accomplish their goals. So where can we see a biblical example of this? Well, Acts 6. Do you remember what it says in Acts 6? Does anybody remember what happens here? So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom. So, he says this is the gift of administration in action. Now, in selecting people to run the food program, who did they pick? Somebody who can cut a slice of bread? No. They picked people who were well-respected, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom. Because this gift is just as important as all the other elements of ministry. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to do this foundational and sometimes practical type of ministry. So if you have this gift, celebrate, rejoice in it, just as if you have any of the other gifts, because it really is foundational to the work of Christ. Quick mention, another administration we can maybe find somebody working in the church office as well has a gift of administration. We're just touching on each of these, okay? So now we're going to go to giving. Romans 12:8. People with the spiritual gift of giving like to be generous and they like to share. Alistair, whose mom is in preschool ministry right now, he's a little preschooler, and his favorite saying is, sharing is caring. And so these people like to give with a generous heart, and as Nez was saying, with a joyful, cheerful heart. They like to help support with finances. I was out in the lobby or foyer there one day, and somebody came up to me and she said, do you know the reason why we give to the, we ran a kids camp about a month and a half ago. She said, do you know the reason why we give to kids camp? And she said, because we want to see kids take their next steps and grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to see kids get to know Jesus better. So we give to the camp. I said, hallelujah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Because they're giving because they want to see the kingdom grow and they want to see kids get to know Jesus better. And so that's part of giving. It's part of the ministry is giving. It allows so many things to flourish. Not just the camp, but all the ministries. So that is an amazing way that God can use, not the only way, but for the church to flourish and for ministry to go forward. Finally, when we think of giving, we usually think of giving financially, and that's great, but we can also give another way. Can anybody think of another way we can give? Our time, yes, our time. That's right. We can give our time. I know a single dad, and he works tons of hours, but he just doesn't have the finances to give as much as he'd like. But you know what? I know this lady, he changed the oil on her car, and she couldn't have afforded otherwise. And he helps on Sunday mornings. He's like kind of a security type of guy at the church. And he volunteers in different capacities, and he gives his time to others and to Christ to expand the kingdom. Okay, next on the list is mercy. Do we have a list here? Okay, mercy. So this person tends to be tender-hearted. They like to show compassion. They like to help the hurting. But not only do they have compassion, but what's the difference? It moves them to action, right? Jesus moved by compassion, healed. So when I thought of this gift, the first person that came to mind, except was Jesus, but in that scripture, but second was, and not saying she's second to Jesus, but I'm just saying, the second person who came to mind was Mother Teresa. You know, it's documented that Mother Teresa suffered with depression, and regardless, she reached out, and she encouraged, she eased people's suffering, and she provided care. So that's a beautiful example of mercy. We don't all have to be Mother Teresa to provide mercy, but it's just a beautiful example. Another way that you might see somebody with the gift of mercy is a Christian counselor. They typically have mercy and compassion for others. So those are what he calls the love gifts. There's another gift that is not in the category, according to John Thompson, but it's another service and support gift, and it's the gift of leadership. So this was on our original list. Okay, leadership, 1 Corinthians 12:8. Who has the gift of leadership? And can you think, like, who in the church here has the gift of leadership? Well, when I think of people with the gift of leadership, there's so many people here that have the gift of leadership. First of all, I think of, the lead pastor, Pastor Phil. I think of the council and the elders. I think of people who ran summer church and small groups and Colleen with worship and Mark. I mean, I can't get into names because I'll just get in trouble because I'm not going to list everybody. But there's so many people with the gift of mercy. And these people with the gift of mercy, with leadership, they want to ultimately love Christ with their whole heart, but care for people and ultimately help people own and go deeper in their own relationship with Christ. So they inspire people to accomplish their goals, and they're often good at communicating vision. So these, and that's just a brief summary, I could go on leadership longer, but those are some of the service and support gifts. We'll touch on another one later. But for now, let's discuss, what is the purpose of these gifts? Why does God give them? So Ephesians 12 says, what does it say? Can you guys read it with me? So that the body of Christ may be built up. Can we read it together? So that the body of Christ may be built up. That's the purpose of the gifts. So we all here at Clearview as a church, newcomers, you may or may not be aware, but one of our goals is to help people take the next steps with Jesus Christ. So we here at Clearview all have that goal. And we want to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And we want to see the kingdom expand beyond the four walls of the church. So we all have the same goal, but we don't all have the same role. So that's why we embrace everybody's roles, and we work together so that we can be a flourishing, healthy church and give all the glory to God. So there is a final gift, one more gift. I don't know if you remember it. Yes, somebody said hospitality. You got it. That's it. So hospitality. When's the last time somebody invited you out for coffee or over for lunch or dinner? Can anyone remember? And what was it like? Some people are using this gift and they don't even know it. You may have this gift and not even know it. I'm going to touch on something, though, that makes hospitality a little bit distinct as a Christian gift. So let's back up a little bit and let's say, sometimes when we have people over, we say we're entertaining, right? And I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. But entertaining, by the very sense of the word, means to put on a show. So we might make this amazing, elaborate meal that can be on a cooking show or, you know, Instagram-worthy. And again, there's nothing wrong with making a good meal. I like beef tenderloin, medium rare, a little potato on the side, just in case you're wondering. But there's nothing wrong with that. But as one pastor shared, there's a difference between entertaining and what we in the church know is the spiritual gift of hospitality. So what's the difference? Entertaining talks about the provision of the meal and somewhat putting on a show, perhaps. Whereas hospitality, one pastor said, talks about the distinction is not about what's on the table, but about who is in the chair that's important. It's not about the meal as it is about the person. Ultimately, when we're hospitable, you can serve, you know, cheese and crackers. It doesn't have to be beef tenderloin. But the idea is that we fellowship, ideally, and have koinonia, and we pay attention to that person. Perhaps pray with them if it's fitting, or just talk, connect, share, and help them to feel important and have a servant's heart towards the person that we are showing hospitality to. So, those are the service and support gifts. So, do we have any of them? Does anybody here think that they have any of those gifts? If so, that would be great if we could use them. But if you're not sure, how do we know? Well, number one, spiritual gifts test that's sent out in the e-news. Number two, walk with other people in the body of Christ. I was at a staff meeting, and somebody said, one staff said to another staff at Clearview, do you have the gift of wisdom? And they said, yes, how'd you know that? And the pastor present said, that's one way that you get to know the gifts, is walking closely with other believers, and they can point it out to you. Thirdly, if you do something and it just feels right, if you do something and you think, I feel called to do this, this is really me, then that could be another way that you know your gift. Say you volunteer in kids ministry and you think, that's not for me. Or let's say you want to try out the welcome desk and you think, wow, this really is for me. I really like enjoying meeting people and greeting people. Part of the gifts also is trying it out and discovering our gifts by trying out what they are. So Ephesians 4 talks about what is the purpose of the gift. Oh, yeah, before we go there, I thought I wanted to say, okay, let me tell you about something I tried. Okay, so I was doing my master's degree in divinity and pastoral ministry at Tyndale Seminary, and I was taking a course. And I said to the pastor, trying to be of help, it was at a church in Oakville. I said, is there anything I can do in the morning to help? He said, you can make the coffee. Okay. So I went, and I went to the kitchen Monday morning, and I made the coffee. I'm pretty sure I burnt it. And I gave a cup to the pastor and to another lady who was there, and there was granules floating at the top of the coffee mug. And the pastor took a sip. I thought he was going to spit it out. And he said, what kind of coffee did you get? And I was so proud. I held up the tin. I got the cheapest coffee I could find, I said. And I quickly learned, if you can afford it, you never buy cheap coffee. Oh, I didn't know that. And then the woman had the sip of the coffee, and she's granules floating on the top, and she looked at me and she said, would you like me to make the coffee for the rest of the week, dear? And I said, absolutely. So I tried it, but that is not my niche. Definitely not my niche. Somebody else tried a part of ministry. They had a need. It happens to be in kids' ministry. And she did it, and she tried it out. She's been doing it for 10 years because she found out that she loved it. So, Ephesians 4 talks about until we use our spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ, Ephesians 4:13, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son and God. One more story for you. The knowledge of the fullness of God. We use our gifts, and one benefit is we grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. So I was invited to do ministry several years ago, and I didn't really want to do it. I felt apprehensive. I didn't feel sure. And I was walking with a believer in the body of Christ, and she said to me, if you do this, you're going to get to know God better. And actually, I thought, wow, that's really good to hear. And that was motivation for me. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. And I did it. And do you know what? I got to know God in a way that I really hadn't experienced him before as I was serving. And people were growing closer to God. I was able to pray with people. And you know what? I actually did grow in the knowledge of the Son of God by using the gift. But why am I telling this story is because if you're like me at that time and you feel a bit unsure or trepidatious or you're not feeling confident or you're feeling like you're not 100%, you know what? Be biblical, be prayerful, walk wisely in the body of Christ depending how big of a decision it is. But then just step out. And just do it wisely, humbly, to serve God. And just do it. Because you know what? When we do, we grow in our own relationship with God. And then we grow as a body. And then we're able to reach out to others. And I just look around here at Clearview. And honestly, and people camping too. And I just see so many people who use their gifts. I know so many people of you use your gifts. And I just want to say to you and to me, let's keep doing it. Let's keep using our gifts and give God all the glory. I'm going to close. So, as I mentioned, about a month and a half ago, we ran a kids camp. And I actually said to somebody who helped with the camp, I said, I'm going to interview you. I'm preaching. I'm going to interview you for this sermon. And she said, oh, no, I'm behind the scenes. And that's exactly what somebody with the gift of helps would say. She doesn't only have the gift of helps. She's also got leadership, administration, and many others. But this person helped to promote the camp. This person helped. I had papers in my arms one day and kids and parents waiting. I come into the office, and I'm like, I need to staple these. She's like, I'll do that for you. One day, a grandmother came up to me who volunteered at the camp. And she said, I love these camp songs, and I want my grandkids to hear them. Is there any way that I could take some and share them with my grandkids? I said, oh, absolutely. We've got a sheet with a QR code. You just scan it, and they'll listen for free. Well, that's only because Melissa thought of that. I didn't think of the QR code, but Melissa was on the ball. She had all this stuff organized. And so I was able to share the worship songs with this grandmother to share with her kids who didn't even come to the camp. And we were able to spread God's worship and the word of God a little bit more. But thanks to Melissa and her forefront, it was amazing to be feel that we were part of a team and to see us working together. And I see that so much here at Clearview. And I just feel really encouraged that we can continue to work together to build up Christ's body. So today, let's remember. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus always, because it's always about him. Pray, God, show me what may my spiritual gifts be. And then wisely act. And we can see the benefits of being a healthy, flourishing church under God. When we use our gifts to his glory, we grow, others grow, God is glorified, and we can see kingdom expansion as his body is built up. So now, back to the beginning of the presentation that we watched. There's someone who turns on the lights. As we use our gifts and that person of helps perhaps steps forward, the lights are on. The lights are on because we're all using our gifts and we're all in our purpose. We're all in the role we're meant to be. And so the Holy Spirit can shine. He can shine in our hearts and shine through us to the community. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus Christ, and to know prayerfully what our gifts are, and to use them, God, in a way that glorifies you, not that glorifies us, but that glorifies you, and for the purpose of building up your body. We want to grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. Speak to each of us today, God. Speak to everybody listening online. And use us, Lord. Use us to build your kingdom. Use us to build your church. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.